If you walk through the garden, you better watch your back. Well, I beg your pardon, walk a straight and narrow track. If you walk with Jesus, he'll save your soul. You gotta keep the devil down in the hole. He's got the fire and the fury.
You're listening to the Flushing Exceptionalism podcast. My name is Jefferson. I run the website. This week, we're joined by my friend Xiang. Xiang is going to be a semi-regular host on this program, like whenever I can't find someone better to do the show with me.
I'm glad you find me a good default second choice for whenever you can't find anyone else.
Anyway, it's been a couple of weeks since our last show, and there have been some developments and issues that we covered last time. First, the U.S. Open just finished up. U.S. Open's held every year in Flushing Meadows Corona Park, a few blocks from the heart of downtown Flushing. And, you know, it's a great event. There's a lot of international coverage and a lot of aerial shots of Flushing, I guess, from whenever they set the scene. This year's U.S. Open might have been the most successful in history, actually, according to attendance estimations. And you know, whenever there's a large-scale sporting event in a certain part of the city, the assumption is that it brings a lot of economic benefit to the region. If you're bringing tens of thousands of people to a certain area, the area would actually benefit from the increased business and the increased economic activity. But you know, we've been having the U.S. Open here for a while now, and that common wisdom is being challenged more and more.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's definitely true with like the Olympics. I mean, that's always an argument for bringing the Olympics to whatever city, right? It creates so many jobs and so on. But it's like, you know, what kind of jobs do people really want? They don't want necessarily construction, low-wage jobs. And even if
seasonal jobs,
temporary jobs, you know, even if it injects maybe a couple tens of thousands of jobs into the economy for like a year building stadiums, I mean, where do all those people go after that? They're certainly not people who are able to afford the events that go on in the stadium.
Well, the U.S. Open is certainly very good for New York as a whole. Recently, the USTA released a report about how it produces something around $720 million in economic activity for the New York region. I mean, the number might be a little suspect, but it's undoubtedly true that having the U.S. Open in New York is a good thing and that it generates a lot of money. But it's kind of hard to say if that actually helps Flushing or the immediate area around which the U.S. Open is actually held. I mean, one way to look at the stadium being in Flushing is that, you know, it's a great honor and privilege to host such a world-class international event and to have tens of thousands of people visit your neighborhood. Another way to look at it is you're kind of a dumping ground. Flushing is just a convenient place to stick a stadium or two that will benefit the New York region as a whole much more than the area itself. The truth is, it's a very streamlined and self-contained kind of event. You know, if you take the subway to the stadium or you drive to the stadium, once you enter the complex, there is just no reason to come out. Everything is self-contained. There are concession stands and food. There's no reason to come out of the complex to visit any sort of local establishment. And in fact, it's inconvenient and probably not a good idea.
Okay, well, you know, I mean, the U.S. Open is like what? It's like one subway stop away. I've walked there. I've walked to the stadium from, well, Citi Field at least from here. It's like 20, 25 minute walk. But you're crossing like a bridge and pretty much a wasteland. So, you know, it's close. It's something that we could actually like literally see from Flushing. But walking around, you know, you wouldn't know that was going on. It's not like there were the people were any different. Like, I didn't see, like, any special promotions related to US Open. The sort of thing that you would expect to happen, like, in the vicinity of a city stadium just wasn't here. I mean, and this is one of those things where most cities seem to build their stadiums, like, somewhere outside of the city. And in many ways, like, Queens is sort of like a dumping ground for airports and stadiums. But, you know, even, like, really in the neighborhood of this big stadium, this big international event, you really couldn't tell it was happening.
In fact, the Queens Museum of Art, which is located right in the middle of Flushing Meadows Corona Park, actually contends that the U.S. Open is bad, you know, has detrimental effects for any establishment in the vicinity. Jose Serrano, the community organizer for the museum, says the USTA's economic impact on the area was negligible, and that the crush of commuter traffic and the overcrowding in the parking lots actually hurts walk-up businesses in the area. Now, I don't really know what kind of walk-up traffic the Queens Museum of Art gets anyway, but this is kind of indicative of a growing sense of discontent about stadium developments and the big projects going on in the Flushing Meadows Corona Park area. So we mentioned last time that Major League Soccer is hoping to build a large 25,000 seat soccer stadium in the park. But the USTA is also planning an expansion of its facilities in the near future. And probably the longest standing development plan, and the one that's caught the most flack, is the proposed commercial development for Willets Point, which has been embroiled in legal troubles and fights over eminent domain for quite a few years now. The area next to Citi Field, which will be developed into some sort of large-scale commercial mall, like a Mets mall, as it's kind of referred to.
Called Citi Field West.
Citi Field West, is that what it's called?
Yep.
Well, it would be developed by Sterling Industries, Sterling Equities, the owner of which also owns the Mets.
Whenever I think of Sterling Industries, I think of Sterling Cooper, like in Mad Men.
Okay.
Because it's sort of the same idea. It's, you know, these stuffy guys in suits.
Really? Whenever I think of the Mets, I think of like a bunch of fairly incompetent old guys.
I don't know. I mean, Wilpon and his associations with Madoff, I mean, I don't know. They're kind of like stuffy guys in suits.
But in any case, all of these developments, the soccer stadium, the tennis stadium, and the Mets Mall, are happening at around the same time. And this is a little overwhelming for the people in the area. About a week ago, hundreds of people gathered at a Queens church in Corona to generally express their discontent with the way development has been going forward in Flushing Meadows Corona Park. It was kind of an ad hoc combination of very different civic groups, and they called themselves the Fairness Coalition of Queens. And it's fairly understandable to a certain extent. I mean, I think the soccer stadium provides a service to many people in the community, and it's something that a lot of people would really love to see. But, you know, if you take the Mets Mall, I'm just not sure what purpose it's supposed to serve. If it gets built, I don't think it serves any discernible need within the community for any type of retail. I mean, can you think of what needs it would actually be fulfilling?
No, not really. I mean, especially with Skyview Mall, like, you know, if there was any retail need, I think that took care of it. I mean, it's debatable whether or not that mall was needed or wanted, but I'm sure people go there.
Yeah.
We definitely don't need another one.
Yeah.
Because if anything, they're just redundant.
In any case, the vocal opposition to the developments are still pretty small scale and not very focused. Again, it's just seems like a very general sort of protest against the practices of the city. And there's a sense that people don't think of these stadiums as some sort of privilege, but it's more of an act of convenience for the city to take something that benefits the city as a whole, but stick Queens with the inconvenience of hosting these things. Moving on, the state assembly and state senate primaries just wrapped up here in Flushing. On the Senate side, Toby Ann Stavisky, who's the longtime incumbent, beat out challenger John Messer in a fairly lopsided race. And on the assembly side, Ron Kim was a Democratic winner in a pretty heated race. Less than 200 votes separated Ron Kim from the runner-up. And in total, he garnered about 1,000 votes from the area. Now, the Democratic primaries are certainly a very important election. In fact, in many years, it's the de facto election itself. And for the winner to have 1,000 votes, I mean, Flushing is a pretty big place. It has a lot of people. And what this election basically tells us is that only 1,000 people wanted this guy to be our state assembly representative, and he's probably going to win.
Yeah, right? And you know, the city department of community planning, I don't know exactly what lines they use, but they say Flushing has 50,000 people, like something about 49,800.
Uh-huh.
So it's a pretty small number that A, actually voted, and B, voted for the winner.
So Ron Kim, a little bit about him. He seems to have worked in government for most of his life. You know, he has experience in the New York legislative body, and he's certainly pretty well connected. In fact, he basically received every single endorsement from all the elected officials in the area. The council member, the Queens Democratic Party, the comptroller, which I guess is fine and good, but it kind of raises the point of how autonomous he is as a person.
Yeah, and you know, the hope here is that our elected officials aren't just another vote for the Democratic Party or the Republican Party or any sort of civic association that supported them in their quest for election.
I mean, the one strength about Flushing is that it's always been fairly self-reliant and fairly independent. A good assembly person for this neighborhood should recognize that fact and understand that, and that he should not answer anyone except for the people of this neighborhood. Okay, well, we don't know much about Ron Kim, but here's hoping that he's his own man and that he can do justice to the self-reliance and the autonomy of this neighborhood.
And that's about it for our show for this episode. Short, quick update, and until next time, have a good week.